Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I'm Konstantinos, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome and thank you for joining the Eurobank Holdings conference call to present and discuss the first quarter 2022 financial results. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fokion Karavias, CEO. Mr. Karavias, you may now proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon, and welcome to the Eurobank first quarter 2022 results presentation. Together with me is our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, and the investor relations team. We will start with some key recent developments, present our results, and then answer your questions. In the first quarter of 2022, macroeconomic prospects dimmed and inflationary pressures became more pronounced, increasing the risk of stagflation in the global economy. Volatility remains high, fueled by geopolitical uncertainty and disruption of supply chains, leading to soaring commodity and energy prices. In this environment, the estimates for the Greek economic growth are trimmed down from close to 5% previously to around 3 to 3.5% for 2022, which is still a good performance. As a result of the external challenges, domestic economic sentiment dropped in April, although in a measured way. On the other hand, unemployment is at the lowest levels in the past decade and keeps improving. Job creation trend returns to pre-pandemic growth path, and the minimum wage was recently increased by 7.5%. High inflation is obviously a burden on households' available income and corporate profit margins, but it is mitigated by the government's recently announced support measures related to energy costs. All indicators point to a strong tourism season, and revenues are expected to reach the 2019 level, which is at least 60% higher than last year's respective figure. Even Cyprus, which had a high share of Ukrainian and Russian tourists in previous years, is expected to offset the lost revenue from visitors coming from other European countries. We see healthy investment appetite across all segments of the economy, while FDI remains solid and local corporate M&A is picking up. Energy is the leading sector in this investment cycle, and the country is becoming an energy hub for the southeastern Europe through several infrastructure projects. As a result of the above, demand for business loans is robust as working capital needs have increased and investments, including those projects under the EU programs, are progressing smoothly. Finally, after the recent upgrades from two rating agencies, Greece is just one notch below investment grade. Now, let's see our financial results for the first quarter of the year, as highlighted on slides 5 to 11. Despite the negative external environment, the first quarter recorded solid figures across all areas. Net interest income was better than expected. Fee and commission growth was strong, asset quality metrics continued to improve, and profits of our regional activities increased substantially year on year. All of these contributing to a robust bottom line result. Consequently, our conviction is getting stronger that our full year targets will be met, or even exceeded in some areas. Let me go in some more detail. Our net profits in the first quarter of 2022 reached €305 million. Core pre-provision income was up by 10.4% on a year-on-year basis, driven by higher than initially expected NII, up 1.4%, and strong fees growth, up 25% year-on-year. in the same period. Loan loss provisions are down by 53% at 63 basis points, and as a result, core operating profit more than doubled. Our regional operations continue their strong performance with net profits of 47 million euros in the first quarter, up 46% year on year. Now, in terms of asset quality, it is clearly encouraging that NPE formation remains slightly negative in the first quarter. However, we remain cautious because of the rising energy cost and inflation and its implications on households' income. In this environment, we continue to improve our NPE ratio to reach 6%. Our remaining NPEs perimeter is limited to 2.4 billion euros, or net NPEs of just 700 million euros after the accumulated provisions. The coverage ratio also improved at 72%. Our total capital ratio stands at 16.5, while the fully loaded CET1 at 13.6, reaching already our full-year target. In all our core markets, credit demand remains solid. Loan disbursement in Greece reached 2.3 billion euros in the first quarter, and there is a strong pipeline for the second quarter and the rest of the year. We see bright prospects, especially in the energy and tourism sectors, shipping, infrastructure, and development projects. So, concluding my introduction, we operate in a global environment which is volatile and fragile to external shocks. On the other hand, Greece has special idiosyncratic characteristics that mitigate some risks. Following a strong first quarter, we reiterate our guidance for the full year 2022, especially for at least 10% return on tangible book value and dividend distribution out of 2022 profits. At this point, I would like to ask our CFO, Harris Kokologiannis, to present our first quarter results in more detail before opening the Q&A session.
Thank you, Fokion. Let's now provide some more insight on the first quarter results. Starting on page 19, on lending growth. Performing loans increased organically in the quarter by 400 million euros, driven by Greek corporate and SE loans. Including April, year-to-date growth amounts to 700 million euros and is almost equally split between Greece and Southeastern Europe. Considering the low demand for new investments and working capital and the existing pipeline, we reiterate our outlook for a net organic growth of performing loans by 2.3 billion in 2022. Moving on funding and liquidity on page 20, as shown at the right of the page, group deposits decreased in the first quarter by 700 million euro, mainly related with a few large corporates. This change was fully reversed by 1.2 billion euro inflows in April, coming from the same segment. Net loans to deposit ratio increased in the first quarter to 75%, and LCR ratio remained broadly stable at 151%, as shown at the left of the page. Moving to profitability on page 25, net interest income increased quarter on quarter by 5.7% to 339 million euro, as the lower income from Mexico NPE deconsolidation and the days effect were more than offset by TLTRO, lower funding costs, and higher bonds and performing loans income. On a year-on-year basis, net interest income is higher by 1.4%, better than anticipated. On page 26, commission income continued its growth trajectory, increasing by 25% year-on-year and been just 70 million euro lower than the previous quarter's mark. Asset management and bancassurance fees had a solid quarter. However, inflows were lower than our plan due to market volatility. In tandem with transactional fees and credit cards, capital markets and lending commissions performance point to a full-year outlook in line with our business plan. On page 27, operating expenses are flat year-on-year in Greece and higher by 3% in the group due to Direktna merger and higher staff costs in Bulgaria. In the first quarter, we successfully completed a VES in Greece, reaching 350 FTEs. The pre-tax charge amounted to 42 million euro and is fully included in the first quarter restructuring cost. Furthermore, we continued the rationalization of our network, closing another 25 branches, representing 8% of our footprint. These initiatives are in line with our business plan and strategy to shift resources from run the bank to grow the bank. On page 29, we summarize the operating performance for the first quarter of 2022. Core PPI is higher year-on-year by 10.4% at 240 million euro, mainly driven by performing assets and NII, higher commissions and core income from Southeastern Europe, which more than offset lower income from NPEs. Cost of risk amounted to 63 basis points for the period, and loan loss provisions are lower year-on-year by more than 50%. As a result, core operating profit is higher year-on-year by more than 100% at 178 million euro. Finally, on this page, profit before tax increased to 404 million euro for the quarter. This includes 212 million euro trading gains from hedging instruments, fully offsetting revaluation of bonds classified in fair value through OCI. Moving on to asset quality on page 31, as shown on the top left of the page, NP formation in the first quarter was slightly negative by 24 million euro. NPE ratio decreased to 6.7% and pro forma with solar securitization to 6%. This translates to 2.4 billion euro gross NPEs or just 700 million net of provision stock. Coverage in the first quarter increased to 70.6% and pro forma with solar to 71.5% as shown at the bottom right of the page. Finally, on capital and on page 36. Our fully loaded CET1 was stable at 12.7% as the quarterly recurring profitability was offset by VES costs and primarily by business growth. This includes new loans, loan commitments, letters of guarantee, and investment securities. Pro forma with Project Triangle that is expected to close in the next few weeks, our fully loaded CET1 ratio increases to 13.6%. Furthermore, on capital and on page 37, our total CAD ratio amounted to 15.8%. This is 30 basis points lower than the previous reading due to the full year IFRS 9 phasing. Pro forma with Triangle, total CAD ratio amounts to 16.5%, which is already 10 basis points higher than our full year 2022 outlook, as provided to the previous results call. Wrapping up on page 7, despite the challenging environment, we remain fully on track of all our goals set for this year, or even outperforming some of them. This completes my presentation, and we may now open the floor for your questions.
The first question is from the line of Floriani Jonas with Axia Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Thanks for the presentation. I have a few questions. First of them is on asset quality. I remember that in the previous conference call, you were mentioning the expectation for 400 million NP inflows in 2022. Given what Joaquin mentioned now about the impact on disposable income, just wondering if this figure remains the same for the year. Secondly, I was wondering if you could go through the breakdown of your disbursement figure. I see the 2.3 billion disbursements increase, but there is no increase on the Greek side of things in terms of performing loans, right? The increase is coming from the international. So just wondering if you could also mention about out of this 2.3 billion, what is corporate, SME, and mortgages, and also if there was any kind of unexpected, higher than expected one-off in terms of repayments in Q1 that it was like a headwind for your performing loan growth. And I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Okay, Jonas, thank you for your questions. Let me go through the asset quality one, and then Harris will elaborate on the loan disbursements. Let me start from the first quarter, and as you can see on slide 31, we have reported a negative NP formation of 24 million euros. Further on page 32, we show that the formation from households was slightly positive, whereas that from business loans was slightly negative. And in April, the trend has not changed, with formation remaining flattish. And overall, for the second quarter, we expect formation to be slightly positive. So May and June should be a little bit positive. But overall, the payment behavior of our clients has not really changed in any sort of material way. It is, I think, true that the high inflation, especially the what we see with increased energy costs and food prices, are a burden on households' available income. But at the same time, there exist a few mitigating factors that I would like to share with you. The first is what I already mentioned about the government's support measures. The amount year to date to a figure of close to 7 billion euros, what has been announced so far. It is also important, as I mentioned, that unemployment keeps dropping, and we have reached a level of 12.2, which is the lowest of the past decade. We have a graph on page 47 in which we present the evolution of unemployment. It is also important that household deposits have remained unchanged between year-end and today, around 135 billion euros, despite the fact that there was increased spending need. So all these factors, together with the fact that growth will still project it at 3%, and also that residential real estate prices remain firm. Let me remind you at this point that in 2021, we had an increase of 7%. These factors, I think, make any sort of deterioration, if it happens, to be quite contained. So this is what we have seen so far and what we expect. Based on the facts that we have at this point, as you mentioned very correctly, we have projected for the year a positive net inflow of 400 million euros, and despite the fact that effectively for the first half of the year we expect to be around zero, we had a slightly negative figure in the first quarter. We expect a positive figure in the second quarter, so overall the first half of the year will be flattish. Yet, we keep this estimate of 400 million euros for the full year 2022, because we feel that we should remain cautious and be on the conservative side. So Based on that, we also reiterate our guidance for cost of risk and NPE ratio at 65 basis points and 5.8% respectively. And in terms of coverage, we have reached 71%, as you can see on page 31, if I remember correctly. This is quite higher than what we had projected a few months ago about reaching 64% in year-end. But coverage may well drop from the current levels due to the expected write-offs of the second half of the year.
Jonas, as regards your second leg of the question, by far the major part of the 2.3 billion disbursement relates with business loans, corporate and SME. But on that occasion, let me provide you a fresh outlook on how we see loan growth in the year. I would say that as of the last month of the first quarter, i.e. March, and the first 2 months of the second quarter, April and May, loan demand is picking up, driven by the business sector, and I would say mainly energy and renewables, shipping, where we saw a very strong performance, tourism, real estate, construction and manufacturing. And in this context, RRF loans are already acting as an accelerator for loan growth in the next years. At the same time, our regional subsidiaries are producing a quite steady and healthy flow of loan delta. Overall, investment appetite remains strong despite the economic uncertainty. And furthermore, we see, apart from investments, we see increased loan demand for working capital purposes, especially by big corporates. In the first 4 months of 2022, as I said previously, we increased group performing loans by 700 million euro. And this is equally split 350 million euro from Greek corporate and another 350 by international. So we are on track to meet our 2022 target of 2.3 billion net increase of performing loans, as we said in our previous in our previous call.
Got it. Thanks. Just a final question then. Can you share anything on the interest rate environment, if there's any change to NII expectation or general P&L trajectory into the end of the year and 2023? I mean, we already heard from some European banks guiding for that, so just wondering where do you stand and what we can expect?
As we discussed during the call in the previous quarter, our guidance and business plan for the three-year period, including 2022, is under the assumption that we have no interest rate increases. Obviously, it appears that this is not going to be the case. We expect the first rate increase in July, maybe a second one in September. We have provided some sensitivity. What is the upside because of that, and let me turn to Harris to provide you some figures on our interest rate sensitivity.
So let me provide an update on that. I remind you that the majority of our loan book is floating rate and floor to zero. Thus, based on updated calculations for negative rates, between minus 50 to zero, the impact on a group basis is approximately 80 million euro, 80. Once Euribor rates turn positive, of course, the positive effect accelerates, and from zero to plus 50 basis points, the additional impact is circa 150 million euro. And for rates higher than 50 basis points, the sensitivity starts decreasing because we assume that a larger part of interest rate increases will be passing to depositors. Overall, for rates ranging between from minus 50 to plus 100 basis points, the cumulative impact has been calculated at approximately 300 million euro. And I repeat what Fokion said, that in our business plan, for prudence purposes, we haven't incorporated any impact from that.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Sevim Mehmet with JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks very much for the presentation. Just three questions from me, please. So firstly, on the asset quality side, is there any color you can share with us with regards to the loans that were under any pandemic support schemes at the end of last year, particularly the ones under the Gefira program, or any bank-specific programs, there were any. How are they faring so far? And, you know, is the performance in line with your expectations? And secondly, on the RWA growth in the quarter, which looked quite sizable, can you talk about the nature of this growth? Is this related to rating migration, or how should we think about it also for the full year, if possible? And finally, on the trading gains, I see you mentioned this is related to hedging instruments, but is this one-off in nature, or are these existing hedges that would further benefit the trading line should, for example, the government bond yields continue to go up? Any color on that would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Starting again from the asset quality question. In the first quarter, we have already seen to a great extent the effect of the end of moratoria, which overall has a performance according to our expectations. Default from this segment continue to remain low, and therefore this is not a point that raises any sort of red lights to us at the moment. As I said before, and in my previous answer, overall asset quality is something that we monitor very closely for the different segments of our portfolio. Definitely, loans coming from moratoria is one of these segments of that require a high monitoring, as well as the segment of the performing for bond loans that we also monitor very closely. But so far, we have not seen any sort of signs of deterioration in these segments.
On RWA's growth from related to as regards RWA increase related to asset growth, if you go on page 37, for example, we provide the note 5 that actually explains the drivers of this increase, that it is mainly is coming from loans by 400 million euro, loan commitments and LGs, that it is actually off balance sheet, by 300 million euro, and investor securities by 160 million euro. This is the main drivers of RWA's increase. Regarding your question about potential trading gains in the second quarter, the answer is that we may have some as well. However, the overall impact on capital from first hedging instruments and second investment securities revaluation from fair value through OCI, so far in the second quarter is flattish.
Okay, that's all very helpful. Thanks very much for the color.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Memisoglu Osman with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, many thanks. A couple on my side as well, please. First one, if I understood you correctly, you mentioned a couple of times that NII was better than expected, a positive surprise. Where is that coming mostly? Is it more volume or pricing? That's my first question. Second one is you mentioned on asset quality a few times, but I'm just looking if you could give us a bit more color on the international side, given the geopolitical developments we've had, the unfortunate ones we've had over the last few months, and your exposure to Bulgaria and Cyprus. And then final one is on your issuance plans, and specifically, would you consider skipping issuance at all for MREL reasons this year? Thank you.
Okay, I'll get the first and the third one, and Fokion may comment on the asset quality of trends on international. As regards the NII trajectory, you may recall that in our last year call, we provided for a full year trend of NII of minus 3%. It looks we ran in the first quarter by 1.4%, and it looks that on that aspect we may be this trajectory may continue. The reason is that primarily we have better bonds income, which is a combination of higher positions and higher yields. Second, it looks that we have better funding cost, both on in terms of gapping and in terms of deposit cost, and slightly higher on performing loans net interest income, mainly due to the carryover of the very strong quarter that we had in the fourth quarter of 2021. Mm-hmm. This is the main drivers of so far better performance versus our initial outlook. Now, as regards, let me provide you an update as regards MREL and funding plan, etc. As shown on page 21 of the presentation, based on the latest official SRB decision, the MREL requirement stands at 27% of RWAs, including 3.7% of CBR, and this shortfall should be covered by the end of 2025. The interim binding MREL target for 1st of January 2022 was 17.8% and has been already fully met. The interim non-binding MREL target of January 1st, 2023 is 20.5%, and the major part versus the 18.3 that we have today will be of the distance versus the one that we have today will be covered by the full year profitability, first of all, and the Trient capital impact of 80 basis points that it is not included in the MREL ratio at that page. Furthermore, we monitor the markets. We understand you may appreciate the market volatility so far. We monitor the markets for any opportunities for senior issuances, including, of course, potential issuance of short-term paper.
Now, let me discuss your questions about asset quality outside Greece and in our two other core markets, namely Cyprus and Bulgaria. Cyprus definitely was the country that had the largest exposure to Russia and Ukraine due to the services that they were offered to customers of these two countries. And namely, in the area of tourism, about 25% of the tourists were originated from Ukraine and Russia in the previous years. So that was a point of concern for the economy. But as I mentioned already in my introduction, and having already discussed the situation with a number of our customers in the island, it appears that 2022 is not going to be worse than 2021 in terms of tourist revenues, because visitors from the two countries will be replaced from visitors coming from Europe. Let me remind you that the market of UK, which is a very important market for Cyprus, was closed until August last year because of the COVID, and obviously this is not the situation this year. So overall, we expect positive growth in Cyprus, close to 2.5%, and definitely this would be a factor, a positive factor for the overall performance. Second point, our bank in Cyprus has almost zero exposure in retail. We are only in corporate banking, which also is another comfort level. And our current NP ratio is very low, is 2.3%, as you can see on page 16. Actually, it dropped 30 basis points during the first quarter of 2022. And also coverage is the highest in our group at 94%. So overall, we feel quite comfortable with the asset quality in Cyprus. Let me now go to Bulgaria. And I'm sure that you have followed some recent developments about the stop of natural gas supplies from Russia to Bulgaria, which also obviously was an important development. But as you can see on page 52 of our presentation, natural gas is only 15%, 1.5, in the energy mix of the country. So although this is an important development, it's not going to affect the economy of the country in any sort of significant way. And Greece has stepped in, replacing some of the supplies that Bulgaria was getting from Russia in terms of natural gas. Greece is providing some supplies out of LNG coming to our country. So the energy is not going to be a factor that will affect the economy because of the stop of supplies out of Russia. The economy is expected to grow between 2.2 to 2.3%. Also, we have a low NP ratio in the country, 4.5%, which also dropped further in the first quarter, about 40 basis points, and the coverage has also increased at levels north of 70%. So at the moment, we don't have any sort of signs pointing to alarming trends, but definitely asset quality is our main concern because of the current situation, and we will monitor it very, very closely.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Tsourtis Petros with Optima Bank. Please go ahead. Mr. Tsourtis, can you hear us? There's no sound coming from Mr. Tsourtis' line. We'll now move to the next question. The next question is from the line of David Daniel with Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. I've got three, and hopefully not too long. On slide 25, you show that the TLTRO income has been a boost in this quarter. I was just wondering if you can give us a bit of guidance on what you think TLTRO is likely to drop to in Q2, 3, and 4. And then just to retouch on the MREL slide, Thanks for the disclosure. I'm just interested that you mentioned a non-binding target. Is there any consequence of not meeting that non-binding target at 1 Jan 2023? And then finally, just a question on the Tier 2 that you've got coming up for call. I hear your comments on market conditions being a bit volatile at the moment. And I guess if you can't issue a new Tier 2, my assumption is that you wouldn't be able to call. I'm interested, could you revisit that instrument at a later date? So I guess I'm asking, if you don't call, is an LME on the table to potentially reduce that government held Tier 2 and come back to the market? I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
Thank you for your question. As regards TLTRO, let me provide you some insight. In 2021, we recorded an impact of positive impact of close to 90 million euro from TLTRO. In the first quarter, we had an impact of 25 million euro. This compares to close to 10-11 in the previous quarter. For that reason, we had this plus 15 quarter on quarter, and for the following quarter, we expect similar amount. So overall, for the year, the TLTRO impact is expected close to 100 million euro, more or less evenly distributed throughout the quarters. And now, as regards the MREL, the non-binding means no consequences. However, from a strategy point of view, we intend and we will meet this target for 2022 and 2023 and any year onwards. Now, as regards Tier 2, a call option, as we have discussed in the previous calls as well, a call option kicks in as of February 2023. In tandem, as of 2023, there is a gradual 5-year phase out of 20% per annum. Of course, there is no any possibility for LME. We don't intend to execute an LME, so we haven't thought about that. Now, what we intend to do actually is, if the current market volatility persists, we intend to proceed to partial issuances as of next year, tapping the market, of course, addressing the phase-out part of the existing instrument so as not to have any impact on capital. So if the market volatility uncertainty persists, we are going to go to smaller tranches of new issuances, replacing the one that it is gradually phased out.
Thanks. So just to clarify, so if you can't issue the or refinance ahead of the call date, I guess that the option would be not to call, but then to issue the pieces of capital that phase out over that 5-year period.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Boulouris Alexandros with Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you for the presentation. A quick question on your targets. As you mentioned, the trajectory on NII seems to be heading better than what you had input at the minus 3 on a year-on-year basis, and fees also seem to be very strong, as we saw in the first quarter. But you keep the target of on core operating profit and core PPI, despite the interest rate hikes that potentially would provide an extra boost. Is there some other line that you feel less confident, for example, the OPEX or the cost of risk line, and that's why you maintain the targets, which seem to me the absolute minimum at the moment?
Overall, as regards our stance vis-a-vis the targets that we have announced in the previous call, The first quarter performance indeed was strong across all areas, despite the volatile environment. As you said, and we said, net interest income was better than anticipated. We had a solid performance in commissions in a seasonally weak quarter. And on OPEX, I would say we're in line with our annual target despite the inflationary pressures. Finally, NP formation was slightly negative compared with an annual outlook of provision of positive 400 million euro, as Fokion extensively elaborated. In summary, first quarter results, I would say, increased conviction of achieving full year 2022 targets or even outperforming some areas. However, at this stage, and you may appreciate the economic uncertainty, we are not going to revise upwards the targets, but we have to wait and remain cautious given the current uncertain conditions. Having said that, despite the challenges and based on the performance of the first quarter, we should reiterate our target for at least 10% return on tangible book value for the year and dividend distribution out of 2022 profits. Of course, the latter subject to regulatory approval.
Okay, thank you. Just on the cost side, do you see the inflationary pressures mounting up at all, or is still relatively in check with what you were expecting?
Listen, the line of cost is one of the risk areas related with the recent inflationary pressures for two reasons. First, related with the higher administrative expenses for electricity, and second, related with the pressure for wage increases. However, and starting from the latter, let me note that the collective bargaining agreement recently signed with the unions calls for a cumulative increase of the base salary for bank employees of 5.5% cumulatively for the next 3 years. So far, we don't see pressure for a wider level wage increases. However, a separate case is highly skilled staff, where in that area there is some pressure. And on the second area, that it is the admin cost, on energy-related admin cost, we are already implementing a set of initiatives targeting to reduce both electricity and fuel cost footprint. So overall, despite the risks coming from the inflation, we expect not to exceed the guidance provided for the full year 2022.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Garrido Luis with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have a couple, please. First, could you clarify two things? Number one, on the trading gains, you've said something about your expectations, but just to come back on this quarter, can you very simply explain what the hedging instruments were that led to the very large trading gains, and what is your hedging strategy that explains this gain? And secondly, on the risk-weighted asset move, you point to the disclosure on the increase related to loans. Apologies if I missed it, but I don't think you've explained how much of that is linked to volumes and how much is linked to risk-weighted asset inflation or credit migration. And then two bigger questions. Can you provide a sensitivity of your capital to moves in government bonds? And very finally, quite simple, do you expect to meet the non-binding 2023 MREL target? Thank you very much.
Let me take the first question about the trading gains and the hedging strategies that we have used. Effectively, it is very simple instruments. It is interest rate swaps and some credit default swaps and some short positions in bonds that hedge our portfolio on an aggregate basis. These are under the economic hedging in terms of accounting, and they intended to hedge our balance sheet as a whole. And obviously, because of the deterioration in terms of credit spreads and rising interest rates, these hedges made money in the first quarter of the year. And as Harry said, second quarter today, also they show some sort of positive income. But again, these are for hedging purposes, and therefore they balance any sort of revaluation that we have on the fair value through OCI investment securities. Now, in terms of sensitivity that we have in this book, given that we report separately the effect of the trading gains versus the effect on the NAV, you can get an idea of what is the sensitivity in the first quarter of the year. We show this number on the capital page. Now, Harry, the rest of the questions.
Regarding MREL, I repeat that the target is not binding. However, our intention and goal is to achieve this target on 1st of January 2023. And I'm not sure I have got your question about the RWAs. May you repeat that, please?
Yes. No, I just wanted to know what portion of the increase in RWAs linked to loans, how much of that was just higher volumes and how much of it was the same volume of loans but just credit deterioration?
No. Actually, the whole part is coming to asset growth. We haven't seen any category of our asset showing any credit deterioration. On the contrary, in some we had also improvement. Exclusively the increase is associated with asset growth.
Okay, very clear. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up question from the line of Memisoglu Osman with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Just two follow-ups. One, coming back to the NII front, some of your competitors have been mentioning spreads stabilizing. Just wanted to get color on your side, both for the Greek part and the international bit. And then a bit of a technicality, apologies for that, but the other income in this quarter, which is usually a slow quarter, a negative quarter, is showing a positive 31 million. So just wanted to see if you could share any color thoughts on that. Thank you.
Regarding your first question on coming on the spread side, indeed, on the retail portfolio, we don't expect any material change versus 2021 levels. On the contrary, as regards the corporate portfolio, as a bank, we have seen a declining trend during the last couple of years, which we have extrapolated in a 2022 budget and the whole three-year plan. If you ask me to quantify that, it is close to 15 basis points per annum for the corporate portfolio. Now, as regards other income, there is a 32 million euro gain for selling a part of our participation to Grivalia Hospitality.
Got it. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. The next question is from the line of Turtis Petros with Optima Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I apologize for earlier. It's some technical problem. Just a quick question, please. Do you intend to increase your stake in Hellenic Bank by the end of the year?
We have already said that Hellenic Bank is something that we follow closely, but we don't have any sort of plans at the moment that can be announced or discussed in the market. At the moment, we are at the 12.6% equity participation in the bank, and we don't have any sort of deals or transactions to increase it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karavias for any closing comments. Thank you.
Let me thank you all for participating in this conference call. Let me also thank you for the very interesting questions that gave us the opportunity to elaborate on our results. Our investor relations team, Harris and myself, will be available for any further clarifications. Thank you very much.